When I was a kid, Mike writes, Anne would yell, "Hey." My mom would reply with the poem, "Straw is cheaper. Grass is free. Get a horse and use all three." I think we revealed all the ones that were given. Did anybody say eat like a horse? I believe we had that one. If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. Don't change horses in the middle of a race is another. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio with links to our own streaming player, plus those of TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and Radio Garden, and our listen by phone number at 631-359-8728. Frosty Mountain Boys here at the Saturday Light Brigade, rolling in my sweet baby's arms, and coming up,
let's go, Bone.
Something special in just a few moments during our Youth Express Hour. Thank you for playing along with all of our horse idioms. I think I got them all. If I missed any, my apologies. And if the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, is something you'll be celebrating, Happy New Year to you.
Communitopia joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Communitopia's 6th Annual Youth Climate Action Summit takes place on March 21st at Museum Lab, located on Pittsburgh's historic north side. This youth-led summit features speakers, breakout sessions, games, and creates a space for environmentally conscious community building. More information on the 6th Annual Youth Climate Action Summit is available at communitopiapgh.org. That's C-O-M-M-U-N-I-T-O-P-I-A-P-G-H.org.
Teens interested in podcasting, writing, music, journalism, or other forms of self-expression are invited to join us for a wide range of SLB Youth Media Center programs. Activities include workshops on writing and audio recording, as well as weekly open mics and open studio hours on Mondays through Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Activities are free to area teens. Visit ymc.slbradio.org for details.
One Youth Media Center program that we have offered for 14 years is a program called Streaming Justice. We take our studios on Martin Luther King Jr. Day and turn them over for youth-hosted talk shows. One interesting fact about these talk shows is, generally speaking, the youth have never worked together before. We provide some training, only about an hour or so, some tips about how to do a talk show, and then they take over and host the program for an hour. We have excerpts from one of those hours as our first segment today. They'll introduce themselves and give you a sense of what you're going to hear throughout it. Let me see. I will let you know that you'll hear an 11th grader, Cosmo, and a 12th grader, Dawn, who actually just graduated from high school, and Mason, a 9th grader, and Nathaniel, a 6th grader, all talking about issues of justice from their perspective.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, live on Youth Express, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This is Dawn Martin. I'm 17 years old and in the 12th grade at Passport Academy Charter School.
This is Mason Rice, 14 years old, and I'm in the 9th grade, and I go to Propel Montour.
This is Nathaniel Zamar Davidson. I am 11, and I am in 6th grade, and my school is Manchester.
This is Cosmo. I am 17 years old in the 11th grade at Kappa.
So basically, we're going to be talking about how MLK, Harriet Tubman, modern day civics, and racial stereotyping in sports.
Starting off with MLK, we wanted to observe his day, say thank you to him and everybody who helped us get to where we are today. Today, Nate is going to start us off with the conversations with a couple facts about MLK.
Okay, so it was Michael King first off with his name, because that was his dad's name, and it was Michael King Jr. And his dad went to ministry tour, and one of the heroes over there was actually called Martin Luther. So his dad changed his name to Martin Luther King and changed little Michael's name to Martin Luther King Jr.
And then that's when we have who we know today as Martin Luther King Jr. You know, he did so many things and led the NAACP in a great direction of where we are today. For me, I can say that Martin has become a symbol in my household and become someone we look up to, not only just for his civil rights activism, but for his vision of change and his follow through with the change. Do you want to jump in? How has Martin made you feel or impacted your life?
Martin, he impacted my life because he made me believe that I have something. Black people, to me, we're special. We're a type of species. We always stick up for ourselves. And he made me realize that no matter your color, how tall, how short, the way you look, you can always do whatever you put your mind to.
And for me, I definitely do agree with that. Just his work and what he lived for definitely was a reminder that everybody, regardless, again, of your height, of your skin color, of your gender or whatever, we all deserve to live and we all deserve to be seen. And if we have to fight to be seen, then that is what must be done.
That is right.
And there's still an impact today. You know, yes. Like, it's not so far in the past that this happened. You know, our parents, you know, if they're still alive, God bless, they still remember and they marched, you know, and things of that nature. So we have to remember that it's not so far removed and we're not that far away from it. And I say that to say that see something, say something. You know, what's going on today, you see something, say something. And that's what happened back then. We didn't let each other go down without a fight. We got to help each other out, lift each other up, you know?
And also, he got nominated for, like, the highest class of speech you could ever receive in his school. So he started taking some speeches, and he got arrested 29 times. But guess what? He did not give up.
Mm-hmm. We have a question from a caller. I love this song, A Change Is Gonna Come. Why did you pick it? Well, we picked this song, A Change Is Gonna Come, because it is history in the music industry, and it is a song that has led a lot of protests, that has led a lot of things in the community. It's about change. It's about fighting for your future, and it's about believing in a day where you and other people can stand side by side, hand in hand, without fear and without prejudice and without judgment.
Just like Rosa Parks, she got on the bus and she refused to give up her seat for a white person, and then she got arrested after that, and everyone called her the mother of the segregation boycott. And also, the boycott meant no one really rode the
bus.
Yeah.
Was it Mississippi? Yeah, no one rode the bus. And that's what helped change the system and the laws in place. They boycotted, stood together, gave each other rides every day, created what we now know today as a taxi system, which was stolen, you know, and they gave each other rides to school, to work.
Speaking of boycotting, for Dawn and my other fellow hosts, is there anything that you are currently boycotting today? Whether it may be a cause, a person, a brand, an industry, anything like that?
Not particularly, but, you know, if I have a choice, like, I won't go to Chick-fil-A because mm-hmm. of their, you know, stances and things of that nature. But other than that, you know, I really don't boycott anything else.
I would say McDonald's, sometimes they're, like, kind of ghetto. So...
Yeah. Just a little bit ghetto. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We can get rid of McDonald's.
Honestly, that's kind of like part of the experience of McDonald's at this point. That's the 3 a.m. experience. But personally, I am boycotting Nintendo. After their Switch 2 update, I could not do it. I absolutely could not stand it. It's like, if I'm going to buy something, I want to do whatever I want with what I buy. And if I can't do that, then what's the point in buying it, you know? Anyways.
And a lot of times things are catered to our communities and younger kids, like vapes, you know, they're catered to children, the colorful, they're things like that. And that's what happens a lot of the times with us. We get things that aren't good for us or aren't good for the community, and it goes left. Have any of you ever experienced something that wasn't good for you that you didn't realize till later?
No, not really. It was to answer your question, but like, I always back down from smoking and stuff. I had people ask me if I wanted to do it. I always said no, because I know I saw what it do to people. And yeah.
And the problems it could cause. Just say no.
Yes, always say no. Always say no.
I thought, like, fruits were good for you, but if you eat too much of it, you will gain, like, fat and stuff, calories. And juice is actually that, because if it's actually juice, you're not getting more fiber and vitamins in your body, and you have low stuff in your body, so you want to drink more and more. But if you like eat one fruit, that's all the stuff you need in your body.
Have any of you ever experienced racism in the classroom?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
How so? What was your experience?
N-word problem.
How did you manage or deal with that?
They had it with a hard R. Yeah. People started saying it. People still say it at my school, but don't know how. They don't get caught, but that's up to them if they get in trouble.
Right. Cosmo?
While this luckily hasn't made its way around to me personally, in Kappa, I'm sure you may have remembered.
Yes.
The season of giving out the quote-unquote N-word pass, a lot of people just decided, all right, it's okay to say this now, and eventually that had to obviously very aggressively be shut down.
Well, I remember theater teacher had said the N-word at Kappa.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking
and,
about.
And she thought it was okay because she had a black family husband. Member who was black and of ethnic race, but I want to clarify that it's not okay. You know, I don't even exactly believe that our own community should be saying that word because of the weight that it holds. And words are very powerful. And once we realize that, we can step away from that type of culture.
Exactly.
Just like the word hate. If you say you hate something, that is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, words mean a lot. Have you ever experienced a time where words hurt you?
Yeah, words is a very hurtful thing. And you won't even, like, realize what you said until, like, you think about what you said. Then you say, oh, man, I wish I never said that and stuff like that.
Right. When you put yourself in the other person's shoes, you want to make sure that everyone is comfortable and safe. And you want to make sure that you're not saying anything that will harm someone or want to make them, you know, sad. We want to introduce this song. Thank you so much. We'll be back.
The song you just heard was Lost One by Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, so this next segment is going to be about Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad and that type of stuff. Harriet Tubman, nicknamed Moses because she led her people to freedom. Abolitionist, freedom fighter, union spy, nurse, and strategist. But she was also a mother of slavery and a mother of abolitionists. She led over 70 enslaved people to freedom and went back to the South over 13 times. Harriet Tubman is a foundational person in our history and in our life. Like, most people wouldn't even be here today, you know, without her because of the time she went back. You know, that alone, having the courage, the bravery, and the fearlessness to go back into the lion's den after you have been abused, after you've been historically beat down, that takes an extreme amount of courage. So I wanted to highlight Harriet Tubman and her contribution because it's taught in schools, but you forget about her. You know, you look past her. You think about Martin Luther King in his day. You know, Harriet don't have a day. She don't get as much recognition as she should have gotten. She's passed as a man to get where she needed. She has done things that a lot of people wouldn't have done. Has anyone ever been brave enough to speak up or do anything for anyone around you?
Yes, I would for my friends and anyone that I don't know. I would stand up for them, anyone.
Yeah, if I see something that I know is not right, yeah, I would say something. But back to like what you were saying about Harriet Tubman. If you don't know, slaves back in that day, they would use their braids as like basically a path to get out of where they was at, to go to the railroads. And basically, Harriet Tubman was like a fearless underground railroad conductor. She saved 70 enslaved people, earning the name as Moses, as you said. And she was the first woman to lead an armed raid in the Civil War, serving the Union as a spy, nurse, and scout. So I think she should have that day just like MLK because of what she did, how many people she saved back in the day. And I just think that is very important to our culture.
Mm-hmm. And American culture, because like you said, she was a veteran in the Army. You know, she was a spy. she got information that other people couldn't have gotten. Cosmo, would you like to add on?
Circling back to your question, definitely defending people that I hold very dear to me and those who do not always have the means to defend themselves. Even if you are personally unable to take arms and go to war as this wonderful saint of a woman had, even just being there, being a support can do so much. So, yeah.
Yes, it can do so much for yourself and others around you. You know, personally, for me, I can say that speaking up for others is kind of like speaking up for myself. And at times, it's easier to speak up for other people than it is to speak up for yourself. But I also want to take this little bit of time to say, like, you have to speak up for yourself or no one else will. You know, it is a right to be respected and to be heard as a human. And you want to make sure everyone around you is okay and safe. Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and a lot of other people that remain nameless in history have done so much and still haven't received the flowers that they deserve.
She was in the Underground Railroad, and I went to one of the houses in first grade. We went kind of in the house. We looked out the windows, and it was history all in there.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like if we dig deeper enough, we will see the history of the Underground Railroad. So,
yeah, definitely.
We dig deeper into it, deeper and deeper.
And just like Emma Gay, she also changed her name. Tubman was born. Her name was Amina Ross, and her family called her Minty. She adopted the name Harriet in her honor, her mother, around the time of her marriage to John Tubman, a free black man. So basically, she was married to a free black man, but she wasn't free. And I really don't understand back in the day how, if you're married to a person that's free, why can't you be free? Because nowadays, if you're married to that person, what they have is technically yours, and we get into stuff like that. Because adults, they go, when they're married, you get sued a lot. If y'all break up, there's just a lot of stuff that happened.
Well, you gotta think, he paid for his freedom, you know, and he was trying to pay for her freedom as well, but the slave master kept pushing back the goalposts. In other words, he was increasing the price of her, so he was never really able to pay for her freedom per se, but he definitely tried, and he definitely wanted to live a life together.
I know it was like she was in a different, probably like country, so, and they met, so that's why she wasn't free and he was free, because they were in different countries. And a person that's not free will get beat up probably in the free country, and a person that's free will get beat up in a non-free country, so on and so on.
Right.
A fun fact about Harriet Tubman that I'm sure many of our listeners may know is that she also famously, quote-unquote, never lost a passenger. So for all 13 of her trips, all 70 people made it. Mm-hmm. So that's also a pretty big feat, because 13 times.
Except the ones who didn't make it. You know, because some people, you can't save everybody. And that's just an example of how you really can't save everybody. Sometimes they just got to get left or threatened into a good life.
You gotta leave one behind so everyone keeps going.
Right. You gotta think about the many versus the one with the baby, and the baby won't stop crying. Give it to that baby. No shade. So, yeah, it's all about that, and it's all about preserving the self. And that's what Harriet did. And she was so good at it, she was able to preserve other people's lives in the process. But whether it was by threat or whether it was by perseverance. Come on, we gotta keep going. We gotta cross this river. We gotta go through this mud. We gotta, you know, go through this water so we can wash off this scent so the dogs won't get us. You know, there's things like that. And even things to this day, like,
they probably use the ocean to wash off like dirt, mud.
Did the Underground Railroad even go towards an ocean? I would imagine they would hit a lake before an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Definitely through, like, different continents, like the Long Walk, you know.
Man, I got a question back to what I was saying about saving people. Have you ever been in, like, a situation where I don't like that person, but, like, they was going through something, you wanted to try to help them out?
Yes.
Yeah, truthfully, definitely. Sometimes that ended up not voting well for me later on down the line, so some choices were made and some choices were regretted. So don't always trust everybody you meet, just putting that out there. But yeah, definitely.
And like, that goes back to self-preservation. Like, you can't help people through stuff if you're not helping yourself. You gotta make sure that you have the right tools to do what you need so you can be at your best, so then you won't affect yourself by helping someone else. Yes, I've been in the situation where I had to help somebody, but I never took away from myself. Have you, Mason?
Actually, I think I have. And I think I'm like a helpful person, so I think I help them out. Because, like, if I was in that situation, I would always want them to help me out. But I do see where you're coming from. Why would you want to help out a person that wouldn't want to help you out?
Right.
That would be so good. Because if you help out another person, they may not help you out from, like, doing something or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess.
Hi, we're back, and that was Frank Ocean with Thinking About You. Amazing. Yes, we're going to get right into the next segment. You're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Next up, we are talking about injustices in the medical and sports industries with Cosmo and Mason.
All right, so I'm going to open the segment with a question. Have any of you ever been to a doctor and found that they didn't seem to quite be listening or taking your issues or your symptoms seriously?
No, because I've been going to the children's hospital usually.
Okay.
Not really, but I do, like, sometimes I hear people, like, the doctors, they don't, like, really pay attention. They'll just, yeah, yada, yada, y'all. You might die in a day or two. It's okay.
Well, my mom, she was in a hospital for a couple years ago, and she had a cyst on her ovaries. Long story short, hospital was very neglectful, didn't give her medication. You know, this is a black woman in America, you know, so the doctors aren't taking her as serious as she needed it to. And this was a life-threatening illness, so me and my family have experienced injustice in the hospital system, as well as a woman named Henrietta Lacks. Henrietta Lacks was a woman who had cancer, but her cells were regenerating themselves. And the hospital took advantage of that and stole her cells and didn't notify the family and kept her cells still to this day. The cells were used most recently in a COVID-19 vaccination. The family still hasn't been compensated, but there is a movie starring Oprah called Henrietta Lacks, and it basically tells you the full story. But that's just an example of a real woman in America who has been stolen from in the most personal form, your cells. You know, now they're out there forever without your family's permission. That alone is unethical for doctors and for the healthcare system.
There was one time that at the children's hospital, they just gave me not even a cast. They just gave me like a, you know,
a sling.
Yeah, rubber things that you wrap around your leg. They didn't even give me a cast. I still have my crutches to this day, but I don't use them because my knee was fractured.
You was in pain. You needed a cast.
No, I wasn't in pain really because I fractured it and a student pushed me on the gym floor so hard that I fractured my knee, but it's better.
That's good.
I've been getting heartburn though, so my mom's checking that out.
Going back to Dawn's point though, I definitely think it is important to share stories like that because in America, a lot of medical neglect and abuse does very quite often happen to people of color, and especially people of color who are women. And it's honestly blatant racism and based off of very false stereotypes, especially ones regarding pain management and stuff like that. And hopefully in the future, we will begin to see some changes as who's almost old enough to vote. Anyone raising your hand?
Yes. Almost.
Vote for the changes that you guys want to see. All right, that's my little political spiel. But it's not just the medical community that we may see racial bias in. We may also see it in some of our favorite industries like sports, which Mason will begin to discuss with us now.
Yeah, so like racism in sports is the discrimination, abuse of fans. Like if you don't know, if you have watched the Steelers game, DK Metcalf got suspended for 2 games because of what he hit or pushed, whatever happened, a Lions fan because of what the Lions fan said to him, called him an N-word hard or, and there was 2 sides basically. People were saying that DK, he should know better, he'd been in a year, been in a game a long time. But other people said he was right for he did because you shouldn't be saying that.
And you gotta realize he's still a person.
Yeah.
And a person is still going to react and has emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can't say that word because you will get
repercussions.
Yes. Consequences, other consequences, like consequences on consequences on consequences. If you keep on doing that, then you get more and more consequences, and the consequences will get worse as it progresses.
Yes. So that's like a sign of verbal abuse, and that's also fan behavior. Then we have like stereotyping. When I say this, I'm not trying to be rude, like people just thinking black people are faster than, you know, any other type of skin color.
Right. Yeah. Or like, that's like going into black people can't swim.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because we weren't allowed to swim, if we really want to be honest, so we were never taught. And that goes back.
We taught ourselves.
Right. That goes back into the systematic structure of America and black people in America.
But now we have like training, so we don't have to make it ourselves now. We can join groups and let other people teach us now.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, our viewers cannot see the raise of hands, but how many of my fellow hosts in here know how to swim?
I know how to swim.
Yes.
Self-taught.
Yes, same.
Still be on floaties, though.
That's all right. That is okay.
You know, I taught myself how to swim because my siblings and my mom knew how to swim, and we would go to the pool, and I'm like, no, I'm going to go out there, too. So after a while, and in my school, I went to Colfax. They had swim class as a part of the gym. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to swim and took it by there, you know? And that's just like how black people learn how to cook. We took the scraps from what our slave masters wouldn't eat and made something like a roast with potatoes and carrots and, you know, healthy foods that are still hearty and get you full. Just like there are so many different examples of how we overcame the system and how we continue to overcome the system even to this day. And people like Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, the list could go on. But those people help us get to where we need to be. We're not where we need to be, but we're going to get there one day.
Yes.
And if you know, like, 2020, that was a bad year for racial. Mm-hmm. That was just a really tough year, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know, Colin Kaepernick, he took a knee for the national anthem because he didn't think there was a fair lot of stuff going on. And have you ever played sports? Had anything bad happen to y'all like that?
Yes.
I will be honest, I wasn't much of a sports kid.
I was playing football when I got my knee fractured. I kind of had the ball, then I threw it, and then they pushed me. They were yelling at me, but I was like, my knee hurts, and I told that to my mom, and she was like, when you go to the doctor, so she got an x-ray, and like,
I used to play football too.
Yeah.
And yeah. I stopped playing because I was in my brother's shadow. You know, my brother was the best, so I was like, I'm gonna find my own field, and eventually I did. I found the entertainment industry, but thank you all for listening. This is the closing of our show. My name is Dawn Martin. I'm 17 years old, and I am in 12th grade at Passport Academy Charter School.
My name is Mason Rice, 14 years old, freshman, 9th grade, and I go to Propel Montour. Thanks for listening.
My name is Nathaniel Seymour-Davidson. I am 11 years old and in 6th grade, and my school is Manchester.
My name is Cosmo. I am 17 in the 11th grade at Kappa. Thank you for listening.
That's all the time we have for now. Thanks for listening to our segment of Stream and Justice. Up next is more music and conversation with Zora, Wallen, Jude, Karis, and Acton. Thank you for listening.
Well, there you have it. That's from the first hour of Streaming Justice from Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We'll play more in the coming weeks at the Saturday Light Brigade. You can hear the complete program at slbradio.org/catalog. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions. In a moment, we turn to live poetry. We have three students from the Montour High School Poetry Club who are about to join us. Saturday Light Brigade, Fat Man D is going to be here a little later this morning, and Carlos Pena will accompany her on guitar, Lori Russo, and Miguel Sagoy III on bass and percussion, respectively. They have a concert coming up on the 17th, Tuesday, at the Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall, a Mardi Gras show, and we'll share more about that. Right now, I'm excited to introduce you to three students who are here with us. They have a couple things in common. They're all 12th graders. They're all seniors at Montfort High School. And before we talk a bit about poetry and share their poems, I thought it would be good just to get to know each of them a little better. Sejal, we're going to start with you, if you would like to introduce yourself. And then if you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time to do it for people that are either listening now or might hear this later. That's your call, though.
Hi, my name is Sejal Manocha, and I'm a 12th grader from Montour High School. I guess that's kind of it.
What's nice to meet you. You have, I know you love writing. What about other passions you have beyond writing?
I like scrapbooking a whole lot, and I don't know if making music playlists count, but I do an awful lot of that, too.
I think that counts. In fact, I was thinking about that just yesterday. I don't do a lot of that, but it gets really easier. Do you use Spotify or a service to do it?
I tend to use Spotify, but I'll print out the lyrics and I'll analyze each and every one of them.
I would say that's a great thing to be able to do. When did you get started doing that?
I'd say around 10th grade, I really got into it.
That fits in with your love of poetry to do that. I always am bummed when I can't find the lyrics to songs because I kind of like to have them in front of me when I'm listening. What's nice to meet you. Next to you is Autumn. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Autumn Pilotti. I'm very involved in the Montour Poetry Club. It's like a very important thing to me and also just writing in general. But I also like art a lot too, and I find myself involved in that as well.
Excellent. Any shout-outs or anybody you'd like to say hello to?
I would like to shout out Lilia Strickland, our lovely youth poet ambassador who got us on here because she's wonderful. She's an amazing poet, and also she was the one that got us here, so I really want to be grateful to her.
Excellent. I'm glad you did that. And then finally, Kit.
Hi, my name is Kit Komnick. I love poetry, though I do struggle writing it sometimes. Some other hobbies I have, I also really enjoy art. But aside from that, I love animals.
Do you have any pets?
Many.
And tell me about them.
At the moment, I have a dog and three cats. I also have a fish tank with multiple fish in it, but my favorite is my angelfish, and I have a snake, a ball python.
Wow. Do your cats get along?
Generally, yeah.
We have two, and we're still trying to convince them to be friends. They usually are, but sometimes anything but. What's nice, any shout-outs that you'd like to make?
No, not personally.
Well, it's nice to have all three of you here. I'd like to start before you share your poems. Why poetry? People might be wondering as they're tuning in, not only peers, but adults. Why is poetry important? And I think the answer is usually pretty personal. Anybody want to jump in and talk about that?
I actually have like a personal story of how I got into it. It was through this poetry club. I was never really into it when I was younger because I feel like a lot of people think it's kind of embarrassing or they make fun of it sometimes, like, oh, you're writing about your emotions. But I remember I was in the poetry club for like the first time. I saw a live slam of all these students like slamming their poems, and I just thought it was like the most beautiful and interesting thing. And I think ever since then, that was my freshman year, and ever since then I've been writing, and I just love it. I just love seeing everyone's like different emotions and like what they write about. I think it's a really interesting thing.
Have you gone on stage to share your poems?
I slam every month because our poetry club does a slam every month, and I've like made a little resolution to try to do it every single month and write a poem, even if it's not good, just get up there and do it, you know. I haven't really gone to like open mic nights or anything like that, but I'm planning on doing that, and I really want to get out there more with it.
We have one here on Thursday nights called Soapbox, and it is an opportunity for people to share poetry, music, monologues, other types of talent in a very friendly environment. You might enjoy doing that. That's starting up, I believe, next week, or it might be the week after, but it's every Thursday. Other thoughts, Sage or Kit, about why poetry?
I know oftentimes I'll use poetry to help relay feelings that I might not have fully expressed out, or I'll use it to help cope with things that, like, maybe I need more rumination time on.
That's a good way of expressing it. Sometimes in the process of creating, you learn how you feel about something. You may have started in one direction and end up in a different one. At least I know that happens to me when I write. What about you, Kit?
When I first really started writing poetry, it was sort of an outlet for me because I had just made a big move, and it was during quarantine. I had no friends. I didn't really have anyone to talk to, so I kind of just started writing poetry then. And then when I started going to Montour, I met one of my friends who was very into poetry, Lilia Strickland, actually, and she read some of my poems, and she asked if I would want to join the club with her because she was already involved in it, and I guess that's where I started in the poetry club, and I liked the community, and after some time started slamming in the poetry club.
That's huge that poetry ended up being a way for you to connect with new people after, I'm sure, feeling very isolated. Moving, first of all, the pandemic was a time of isolation, but also moving has got to be tough, especially at that age. Friendships are pretty well established. So it sounds like poetry made a big difference for you. Would any of you, we're going to have you share some of your writing. Who would like to go first? You'd think we would have worked this out beforehand, but we didn't. Other odds and evens, I love it. Or rock, paper, scissors.
Are we actually going to rock, paper, scissors?
I believe we should.
I think you should. Go ahead, I'll narrate it. Okay. Oh, two scissors. This is Autumn and Sejal. And who won that one, Sejal? Or no, Autumn got it. Now Autumn and Kit, scissors, cuts, paper. So does
Now do I go against Sejal or?
I don't know. Oh, you could, but the winner ultimately does what? Gets to choose, I guess?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so now one last round of Sejal versus Kit. Here they go. They're really good at this.
I will choose that Sejal goes first.
Okay, so Kit, Kit's rock beat Sejal's scissors. Nobody's ever done that on the radio before. Congratulations. That's a first. Yes. And I understand your work is called Trying.
Yeah.
And the stage is yours.
It's raining. My shoes are all muddled, and my heavy head hangs. Like arthritis, this feeling sets into my bones, wearing and tearing at the joints. It's hard to move. My limbs go slack, and I can't see the edge of the horizon. I begin to shut down. I'm not great at taking care of myself. Never have been. Despite all this, though, you pick me up and tell me it gets easier, takes practice. And that's all I need. Now, even with the way ahead obscured, I begin to breathe.
That was incredible. Thank you. When did you write that?
I wrote that for the September slam prompt at the poetry club.
Well, it was beautiful. Have you shared that at a slam?
Yes, I did. I have.
I can't imagine doing that, especially with a poem that's brand new. Do you get nervous doing that, or have you done it enough times that it's easy to just get up there?
I absolutely get nervous. I can feel my heart skipping beats right now.
Oh, you sounded great. Thank you for sharing that. Sejal's poem, again, it's titled Trying. Kit, you're in charge by virtue of rock, paper, scissors. So who is next?
I believe Sejal should choose who goes next, sort of like a popcorn.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, I like it.
Go in row, I guess. Autumn goes next.
Okay. So Autumn, we're going to get ready for you. And I understand your poem is called The Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. It was a bizarre sight to see that the ice cream shop was empty now. I remember my mom walking me up to the window 10 years ago and the one scoop of chocolate ice cream popping into my cone. 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was too short to grab things off the kitchen counter, and my parents had to tape a pillow to its sharp edge so I wouldn't crack my skull. And now I find myself staring into the cracks of the used-to-be-smooth shop's walls. I can't stop thinking about that place, how the brush around it slowly ate it alive. Writhing vines crawled up the edges like thin, clawed hands. How they seized control over the drywall, plucking off patches to reveal the red brick beneath. I felt like if I climbed inside through one of the shattered, half-boarded windows, I could hear a passing conversation. The debate over whether mint chocolate chip or cookie dough is better, or a conversation over work drama. I'd look up to the discoloration on the ceiling, all too familiar to me, of water damage from the roof caving in a few months ago. And maybe if, in these 10 years, this place managed to crumble and quietly become skewed, I wonder if you gave it 10 or 20 more, if perhaps it'd no longer be there at all. Reduced to rubble, reduced to dirt. The remains becoming fertilizer to a giant willow tree.
Wow. That was amazing. Any comments that I should have asked this about Sejal's poem too? Anybody have any comments to provide to Autumn? I love the imagery. I really.
That is exactly what I was going to say, actually.
Yeah. Suddenly, you were going to say that, Kit. So it's got me thinking ice cream. I could see the ceiling that you mentioned. It's just really well done. Any thoughts on it?
I feel like I was trying to like encapsulate the vibe of nostalgia within it. I feel like nostalgia is a really strong emotion in my poetry. And also just kind of the idea that Mother Nature kind of can take over all. Like, you know, in a couple decades or so, none of this stuff could be here if Mother Nature had its way with it, you know? If it wasn't kept up by people, then it probably would crumble and be reduced to, like, dirt and stuff. So I think that's also something I try to bring up in my poetry a lot, too.
Did a great job. Anybody have anything else they want to say?
I left the nostalgia in it.
So now, Kit is ready to go. What, the Circus Act, is that the name of your poem?
Yes. With my pointy shoes and pretentious makeup, with my flowy shirt and fluffy hair, my pastel pink pants and my frivolous frilly socks, I must look quite silly, sort of clownish, I suppose. Audience is important. Do you think me a fool or do you think me expressive? Either way, you're probably correct. I wake up, I dress, I make up my face, I put on a show, a performance. Though it's different per viewer, it's always alike in that it's of best interest to me. I tell you what I think will please your ears and hope you'll cheer for what you hear. I show you what I think you want to see and silently plea you'll fill with glee. And oh, that applause, it's like ecstasy. It's euphoric and addicting. I'm elated and anxiously anticipating my next act. And when you've clapped, I can relax. Apologies. My patrons stand at the pinnacle, poised perfectly on a pedestal, and I've practiced so hard to please that I think I've lost me. And while it may look unfulfilled, I feel as a cardboard box at the thrift filled with flotsam and jetsam and shiny little trinkets and trash. I decorate my space with useless knickknacks, clocks and birdhouses and too many gnomes. I juggle too many hobbies to keep up with, trying desperately not to be an empty vessel with no purpose but to please. Then I'll put them on display. I'll show you my art, I'll play you my songs, then ask for a kiss goodnight. I'll show you the ins and outs of my card collection and how nicely I've decorated my Animal Crossing home, looking for any small sign of appreciation. I'll show you my plants and make you hold my pets, tell you all the names of my fish, knowing you won't remember, but hoping you'll enjoy them nonetheless. My makeup will crack, my frills will droop, and my red nose will fall to the ground. I'll pick and I'll peel, and I'll change my pink pants to blue before I dry my eyes and repaint my face, preparing for my next show.
Wow, I can hear what a performance of that would sound like, and the rhythm and cadence of the words really, it almost matches, it does match the transformations that you're describing. Just beautiful. Any comments from you two?
I love it. It's one of my favorite ones that Kit has made. I just think it's like has really beautiful imagery with like the whole clown outfit. I just really like that. And there's like the part where it says the makeup cracks. I like that too. It's like a mask falling off.
Sejal?
Flotsam and jetsam and bits and bobs. Very, very wonderful, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, and just the notion that, you know, I'll be whoever you want to be or you'll see in me what you want to see, essentially. coming through. I know I don't have the words exactly right, but that's very significant, you know, to express that that way, I think. Did you write that during the pandemic?
Oh, no, that one I actually wrote near the end of last year for our school, well, last school year, for our school's Grand Slam.
Really? Well done. If you're just joining us, Autumn, Sejal, and Kit are all seniors at Montour High School, and they represent the poetry club. They just shared some poems this morning. What's going to happen after you graduate? Do you have firm plans yet? We'll start with Kit and work our way down the line.
I'm personally taking a gap year first to try and get all my ducks in a row, get some more things in order before I put myself in college, because it just seems like a lot. But then after I'm a bit more organized, I plan on probably going to Carlo for art therapy.
That's terrific, and you are not alone in a gap year, as you probably know. Are some of your classmates doing that also?
Not that I know of specifically.
There's more doing it. We actually had a special project that we're just finishing up that was designed for students taking gap years to try to learn more about the benefits of doing that. What about for you, Autumn?
I'm planning on going to Pitt for aerospace engineering or just anything physics related because I love science.
That's excellent. Pitt has great engineering programs, mm-hmm. and you can actually, you don't need me to tell you this, you can continue to be a poet as you become an engineer. Do you think you'll live down there?
Yeah, I'm planning on living on campus.
Great. And Sejal, any idea for you?
So far, it's looking like Duquesne, their speech-language pathology program. It's really interesting, and I got in, and I'd really like to go.
Well, you all have great ideas and great future plans, and I do hope you'll consider taking part in our poetry slams and in other work we do. Did anybody want to say something that they didn't get a chance to?
I think I'd just like to talk about how our school does a grand slam every year, because that's like probably one of our biggest things that we do that actually gets out a lot. We have quite a few schools come each year, and we get about 30 poets each time, and it's a really wonderful event. Everyone gets to compete by school, then we have a winner for each school, and then they go up to the main stage and we compete again until we get a final winner. And we have a lot of impressionable judges. I know that we're actually interested in getting Alexa to maybe be a judge this year. And also, there's like a lot of other people, other poets that come on there to judge as well. And we also have other like professional poet performances. So it's just something really special. And I don't know if anyone's interested or would like to come to that or be a judge or be interested in looking into that or want to perform, then we would love for you to come to Montour High School for that.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to get involved or with the club? Certainly they can contact us and we'll relay it to you if that's best, but is there an easier way or a direct way?
I think getting in contact with our teacher would probably be the best. If I could provide an email for that, emailing her would be the way to get on the inside or get a performance or something like that.
Excellent. So if you're interested in taking part in Montour's poetry slam later this year, you can send us an email at slb@slbradio.org, and we'll make sure that Ms. Strickland...
No, it's Ms. Buddha.
Ms. Buddha gets a copy of the information to help coordinate it. Congratulations to each of you. You've really done a great job, and I appreciate your sharing this with our audience so they can learn more about your thoughts and about you know, your outlook for the future, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a wonderful opportunity.
broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with three poets from the Montour High Poetry Club. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find our player as well as those of TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and Radio Garden, as well as our listen by phone number at 631-359-8728.
Kind friends all gathered round, there's something I would say, that what brings us together here has blessed us all today. Love has made a circle